The serious side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next, right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
WWE Superstar Big Show here to tell you, if you've been drinking, get a ride. Take a cab. Find another safe way to get home. Cops all across the country are cracking down on drunk driving. They will see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 good stuff.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrow right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make a do with a do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the serious side.
The Internal Revenue Service admitted today that some of its employees targeted conservative political groups for extra scrutiny in violation of its own policy and despite its earlier denials.
Mother son of a bitch! No, mother What did you do?
In the spring of 2010, just as the Tea Party movement was gaining steam, a group of IRS specialists were told to focus on organizations with, quote, political-sounding names seeking tax-exempt status.
Political-sounding name, that's the right way. It should be Hippies for Change or Occupy Ralph Nader. I mean, not necessarily just right-wing.
It has what Barack Obama has been doing and his administration, not just with all these revelations in the last 24 hours, but also the IRS and going after AP and Fox News and so on. When you put it all together, is what he's doing worse than anything George W. Bush did?
I think Bush started the process, and what I had hoped, and I think millions of Americans had hoped, that Barack Obama, who knew something about constitutional law, would not only change Bush's policies in a number of ways, but certainly with regard to civil liberties. And I think it's fair to say that many of us are deeply disappointed that he did not end many of those programs and provide a lot more transparency than he has.
Well, you know what? When you compare that to the civil rights movement, I don't ever recall. Now, I'm not going to say there weren't any isolated incidents where maybe some gays, you know, were attacked or jumped or whatever, beat down or whatever, little isolated incidents. But when you compare that to what the so-called blacks had to endure during the civil rights movement and prior to that, even to this very day, I don't ever recall no gays and lesbians having dogs ticked on them and sprayed down with water hose. I don't ever recall any gay or lesbian having to drink from a gay and lesbian water fountain or using a gay and lesbian bathroom. I don't ever recall a gay and lesbian not being permitted to go inside a store because it's non-gay only. I don't recall any gays being lynched or beaten because they're gay.
Good morning and welcome to the serious side of the TJRS. Broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks. Today is June 9th, 2013, and you're in tune to another edition of the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. And I'm J. Ryle. I'm Of course, I never share the stage by myself. Let me introduce to you some of the very best in the business. First up, he's gone from most controversial listener to most controversial panel member. My main man, Steve from Indianapolis. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, everyone.
Next up, he's the man who gets the first and last word here on the Sirius side, the man who really runs the joint, the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Jay. How's it going?
It's going well, my friend. Glad that you're here. Dr. Prince's idea is under the weather, and of course, we should hear from our good friend Jerome Esprit here shortly. We have a great show on tap for you. Thanks so much for tuning in last week, even though it was a rewind. A lot of people tuned in. We appreciate that. But we're back live tonight, today, I should say, and we have a lot of things to talk about. So let's just get right to it. First up on the agenda, distrust of government. You know, you hear this now more than often because of some of the things that have been going on with the IRS scandal, what happened in Benghazi, the spying thing that's now making its head. You know, let me start with you, Mr. Elias. There are a lot of people who do not trust government. And I guess my question for you to start the conversation off this Sunday morning, do they have a legitimate gripe and concern not to trust their own government?
Well, ever since the Patriot Act, Jay, I haven't trusted government either. I mean, hell, why you know, and what they passed with the phone calls where they can listen in on your cell phones. I mean, I don't trust them at all. Why are you listening on? Why do you have the right to just impede on my privacy like that? To listen in on my phone calls or whatever you may. I mean, why is that? I mean, I understand we got terrorists here. I do understand that, and you know, fine and dandy, but you just, you know, I have no privacy whatsoever when you can just listen on my phone calls. I don't trust the government at all, Jay. I'm just being honest.
Well, now let me push you a little bit on that because it's and let me ask you this. I'm just asking this question to be fair. My question to you is that yet and still you are a full supporter of President Barack Obama, but you're saying you're not trusting the government. I mean, aren't you contradicting yourself a little bit here with that statement or no?
No, I mean, the Patriot Act started with Bush. I mean, why he hasn't gotten rid of it, I don't know. You know, but the Patriot Act started with Bush where they plan on listening in on my phone calls, and I just don't trust it at all.
And to be fair, the Patriot Act, everyone knows, pretty much came to light after 9/11. Let me go to you, Steve. Same question. Do people have a legitimate gripe to say I do not trust my federal government?
Jay, absolutely. I mean, think about the Bible. I mean, when I was a child, I read, trust no man. I was like, wow. The Lord must really know how scandalous people can be. He put trust no man. And then he turned around and said, honor your father and your mother. So there's a fine line. Absolutely not. I mean, think about how big the government. Look at local, state, federal contractors. Half the jobs in America are government. Half the jobs in this country are government. A lot of people don't know that. People work, the average citizen making average, let's say, 40 grand a year. From January to June, they're paying taxes, property taxes, state, local, all that stuff. Americans have no idea how big this government is. And I'm talking about all branches, all local, state, and federal, but absolutely not. The government can come down on you real easily. Basically, it's the civil liberties, as Mr. Elias put it. I mean, that's really what 9/11. After 9/11, this whole country changed. It's totally different. But before 9/11, when I was growing up, that's when America really had it going on, as far as economy and status and all that. Now we're really seen as a drain on the rest of the world. But it's totally different now. Jay, and people better put their faith and trust in the Lord and the power of His might instead of thinking the government's going to always be there for you, because that can, one hurricane, one tornado, and you know, you've seen what happened in Katrina, one major incident, and you know, you might have to be waiting for water in the Superdome somewhere talking about you love government. So that can quickly change. Jay, what do you think about my comments?
Well, let me ask you about that. I wanted to press you on that. I mean, I guess the thing for me is that people talk about, you know, they don't trust government. They say these types of things. But I tell you what, the first time a major hurricane or a tornado comes through, if it happens to you, Steve, do you expect FEMA and other government agencies to come in and give you some type of help to help you through this most difficult time? How can you not trust government and expect the government to be there? Well, let me finish. How can you not trust government, but then again, you expect them to be there in your time of need, especially after a natural disaster? What say you?
Because I'm a taxpayer, Jay. Remember, Jerome said taxation without representation is tyranny. Not only Jerome said that, I think it was Thomas Jefferson said that as well. So you're paying for these services. When FEMA comes to help you, you're paying taxes for that. You're working January to June paying property, federal, state, local, all these taxes. When your dollar is devalued, you're paying higher prices at the store, you're paying for what this government is doing, so you need to be represented, representation without taxation. I mean, taxation without representation is tyranny. So if you can't be represented, then that's even more distrust. That's why during Hurricane Katrina, there was such an outrage. Where is our representation? We've been taxed, but where's the representation? So, Jay, that's like almost a whole other argument, but it's very similar. But just because they come to you to your help in need, that can very quickly switch. We've seen what happened in Nazi Germany and Hitler. That government can really come down hard, especially on ethnic groups. You know, you look around the world, government has come down hard on non-whites. During times of trying times and bad economies, they come down hard on ethnic groups, ethnic cleansing and all that type of stuff. So, Jay, you being a black man, that's another reason why you got to be skeptical at times. So what do you think about my comment?
347-850-1272 is our calling number. 347-850-1272. It's the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show. It's about 12 minutes after the hour. You can get in on the conversation. All we ask that you do is tell us where you're calling from. Give us your name, very brief comment, and be respectful. And we'd love to hear from you. We're talking about distrust in the U.S. government. Now, one of the things, let me tell you what I'm hearing so far, because this is, it sounds like right-wing talking points. First of all, let's talk about the fact that this whole thing with the government spying and, you know, the Patriot Act. First of all, if you go back and look at it, and this is what they explain, folks, the fact is that the U.S. government, what they do is they don't monitor content, they monitor actions. So if they're looking at someone who, for example, is contacting someone overseas or someone that's on a hit list, on a government hit list, if they see a person doing these types of things, then they'll take the proper legal steps to listen in on conversations. I have a very good friend of mine who actually works on that side of the fence, and he says, listen, Jay, he said, it's impossible for us to listen to every conversation that goes on in this country and in the world. He says we just monitor activity, and when we see suspicious activities, then we take the necessary steps. The thing that really concerns me is that on one hand, we're saying we don't want government to listen in, and we don't want government to monitor what we do, and we're concerned about our civil liberties, but at the same time, if something bad happens, the first thing people are going to say is, well, why didn't they know? Why didn't they have this person on some type of list? I mean, so you can't have it both ways, Mr. Elias.
Well, you know what, Jay? If it was just as simple as you're saying it was, why did the former regime have such a big issue with it? You know.
What do you mean by that?
I watched the documentary on the ex-vice president. And he signed this stuff in. He had this stuff signed in under all kind of crap, where he had his lawyers saying it's okay for us to do this when it wasn't. I mean, and then they knew nothing. You know, Bush knew nothing about what was going on. And like I said, if it was such a simple process as what you're doing, most people would be okay with it. It's not okay. Like I said, after watching that Cheney documentary. I was blown away at how they did so much crap, and they did so many things that was just illegal, man. And I mean, all you have to do is have your lawyers say, well, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Well, let's get out to the phone line. Go ahead. Go ahead, Steve. I'll bring the phone call in after you make your comment. Go ahead.
And this one thing is the state government and the local governments were bigger than the federal government, but we have a lot of centralized power for, like, the first time in American history where the feds and the power is a lot centralized today. If the states and locals were bigger than the feds, then it would be more direct involvement by the people versus bureaucrats and unelected officials making laws and regulations that the rest of us have to adhere to, and it's not local. I have to drive 10 hours, 11 hours to get to Washington, D.C., to protest pretty much. So that's my comment on it. It's big and it's centralized, and that's a Russian type of model, and that's another issue too that we might get into.
Okay, 347-850-1272 is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. Let's get out to the phone lines. Let's bring in my main man, Gary from WCWK Radio. What's going on, Gary? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I love it when you talk about government.
But you do.
the one key thing that I think people need to know, and I think most folks really don't understand this, we don't live in a democracy. This is not a democracy we live in. We live in a democratic republic. Okay. And what that means is we elect representatives to do our bidding. We do not individually make choices. So we have to vote, but our vote is for the representatives who then make the decisions. Okay. So that's one major thing that we have to remember. But the other thing is, and I want to say about the whole spying and all of that, the government has had those powers for years. This is not nothing new. This is not something that just came about with Obama. It was there a long time ago. The Patriot Act just expanded things that were already there. That's all it did. So I don't know why everybody is trying to make this a big deal, because it really isn't. And the truth is, the telephone records, the government could have gotten your telephone records back in the 80s. So this, again, is nothing new. Now, as far as me being a Republican and what do I feel about big government or little government, there are some things the government has to do. Military action, protecting this country as a whole, those are things that we can't individually do. The states could not do it. It is something that has to be centralized. And so I respect that. I want that, and that's where it should be. I want small government on other things that people can individually do, not on the things that all of us can't do by ourselves. And if we thought we could, we would mess up the system horribly if we try to take that amount of control away from the government. Because I'm telling you, as soon as some terrorist act comes, then everybody gonna blame the government because they didn't take care of us. Well, they're trying to take care of us. Let them do their job. Let them do their job until they knock on your door for you talking to somebody about sex over the phone. Then shut up.
That's a good point. Gary, hang out with us if you could. Let's bring in our political strategist, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing outstanding. So now we're talking about the government mistrust. People just does not trust this government, and we've had a pretty decent conversation going on. Let me get your thoughts on that, sir. What do you think?
Well, are you saying this government or the government?
Yeah, well, the government. I mean, listen, we can say that it can be the local government. I think my question was geared towards the federal government, but hey, listen, it's a buffet table. You choose. What do you want to talk about? Do you think that when you look at people? No, let's you're right. Let me be specific, because you're absolutely correct about that. The U.S. government, a lot of people with the scandals that are going on right now, so-called scandals, quotation mark, with the IRS, the spy situation, a lot of people are saying, I do not trust government. So what are your thoughts on that particular statement?
I'm laughing because I don't know where to take that. I'm not going to tell you what my personal thought is on it, but I can tell you this, that this is nothing new of not trusting government. The government has been doing this stuff for the longest. I can tell you the
right.
The positive thing about being in a democracy is that we know that they're doing it. Now, that is something that's new, because the things that we didn't know, like, you know, everyone knows that, not everyone, I guess, but there are acres and acres of mainframes in the Virginia area that's been collecting phone data since they, you know, since Alexander Graham Bell. They hooked that system up a long time ago. So they're recording all of the phone calls, but this current scandal of saying that they're checking who you call is a little bit different. I mean, because you're talking about what kind of things are the federal government doing when they find out that you're contacting a terrorist organization or they're calling you. They can sift records all they want to. I think it's a tribute to the democracy that we're finding out. The fake outrage about it is coming directly from a political standpoint, but have they been doing it? Yes. And just like what people are doing with social network, it amazes me. Everybody's putting their business on social network. Like, you're getting profiled. They don't have to sift through your trash like they used to. I mean, they used to just go to a landfill and figure out what your street was and then sift a certain area to figure out what kind of trash you had. They don't do that no more. You're putting that stuff out voluntarily and then complaining that people are looking at your personal data. So I don't know what to tell you. If you're not conscious about your data anyway, why are you caring what the doggone government is doing? And I cannot, like, stress this enough when people keep going small government, big government, local and state. They're all the doggone same. Your local government is in your business like nobody's business anyway. And so it doesn't really even matter. You have to kind of take some own account of your personal information to secure whatever it is that you're doing. But you either get to be in the system or out of it. I mean, you don't really have a lot of choices. I mean, the country was set up that way. So whether everyone's saying this is not the country it has been, it's like the people who say things like, you know, we're getting away from the Constitution. Nope, they set it up to be exactly like it is. They set it up so that laws are made very slowly. They set it up in a way so that people who don't have money don't have power. That was set up very deliberate. So anybody who's a constitutional zealot who's saying, you know, we need to go back to how it was, that's pretty much how it was. So I don't know. I don't understand the argument. But, you know, like I said, you'd have to ask me a question, because it just kind of is set up how it's set up. And so you can't blame the current president for that, because that stuff has been in place. Well, even you can blame the current president for is that what he put in place in 2009 is allowing you to find out this information. Bush would never have let this information out. Never. I don't think people understand that you would never have known. So either you get full disclosure or partial disclosure or none at all. But I think that national security-wise, they don't have to tell you a doggone thing. They have those laws already put in place that they don't have to tell you anything. I think the president is telling you, and now people are blaming him, but technically they've always been there.
Now, one of the things I will say, 347-850-1272, is 23 minutes after the hour. This story, the reason why it's gaining ground here, Mr. Elias, is because it was leaked. It was leaked that this was going on. And so people, you know, like Jerome has said, and Gary and Steve, this has been going on for a very long time. I remember, I don't remember. I'm not going to talk as if it happened in ancient years. This past week, a good friend of mine who was a Republican said, see, the government is asking Verizon to supply all their phone records, and, you know, I'm just going to go to the mountains. And I'm saying, okay, first of all, you're talking stupid. Second of all, this has been going on for a very long time. And you people will be the first one to sit here and say, why the hell did they not find out about what's going on? The truth of the matter is the government is monitoring, you know, social media. Not only do they have information from Verizon, but also AT&T and Sprint. And once again, they're not monitoring content, they're monitoring activity. And so for people to sit here and say that they have a problem with the U.S. government protecting its citizens, Mr. Elias, man, to me, it doesn't make sense, because those same people, once again, if something happens is, well, why didn't they know this guy was buying all his fertilizer from Home Depots all across North Dakota? Well, because you guys are bitching and complaining that the government is in your business too much. And if they weren't monitoring social media and things of that nature, they would have never found out about it. Your thoughts?
What, okay, Jim, my thoughts are 9/11. They were monitoring that. What did they do about it? I mean,
well, see, but okay, but see, Mr. Elias, you know dang well what happened during 9/11, and
yeah,
that's one of the reasons why. Well, Mr. Elias, but that is not the reason why you should say, okay, discontinue. So what I guess your point is that because 9/11 happened and just so happened we had a knucklehead at the head of the table who didn't pay attention to some of the reports that came out, you're saying we should just discontinue this because it didn't work in the first place? I guess I'm trying to figure out what's
okay.
the basis of your argument.
Well, basically the argument is, okay, how many terrorist acts have been thrown against the United States, okay? And if they've been listening all this time and they've been listening for keywords and they've been, you know, talking about...
That's not true. They don't listen for keywords, but go ahead.
Okay, the Boston Marathon. Okay? Let's talk about the Boston Marathon. These
okay.
guys have been contacting terrorist cells overseas. My point is, I understand the government can be everywhere at all points in time, but... If this Patriot Act is going to work, then in essence, at some point in time, they should say, okay, these people are contacting the terrorist cell. Let's keep an eye on them. Let's keep an eye. And it's, you know, 9/11 happened. The Boston Marathon happened. I mean, to me, if it's going to work, it's going to work. If it's not going to work, then leave it alone.
But wait a minute, Mr. Elias. Let's go back to the Boston Marathon. You know, the thing is that they had been somewhat tracking those guys' activity. I mean, you know, what you're saying, in my opinion, you just proved the point. Bottom line is that they're not listening to every little thing that you do. They're not, you know, oh my God, I'm going to kill the president. Then all of a sudden these alarms go off because some secret device is monitoring that. That's not the case. I mean, it's foolish to think that way, but to sit here and say that we shouldn't have this type of scrutiny of what we do, listen, I'd rather be inconvenienced if it's going to save the life of one or two people versus me being concerned about the government hearing me, you know, talking, you know, nasty talk to some female. I could care less. I mean, it just really doesn't hold weight with me, Mr. Elias.
Well, to me, Jay, you know, We separate on this because I like my privacy. That's why, you know, I am on Facebook, but you don't see me posting a lot of stuff on there because, hey, I don't want everybody to know my business. You know, I like my privacy, it's just
wow.
me, you know. I mean,
and, Mr.
Elias,
I deleted my Facebook account. I created an alias name because I want my privacy, and I just created a whole new alias. We see people do it all the time. Some people call themselves Blue. Some people call themselves, you know, Superman, whatever. I just create an alias Facebook name. I'm tired of my real name being out there, and I don't want my employers snooping in my business, so I deleted my whole Facebook account. But this thing about it, see, this is the thing. If a democracy, if it's based on an up or down vote and it's not a constitutional republic, we're not going off the Constitution, blah, blah, blah. The justices
okay.
and the Supreme Court could basically rule whatever they feel like when they wake up in the morning. Then one day, you're a reflection of your government. Let's say 20 years from now, 95% of the American people are atheists. They can say, hey, we're done with religion. We catch you worshiping somebody, you're going to prison. If government is based on the up or down vote, expect tyranny. That's all I got to say about that.
But let me push you on that, because here's the thing which really kind of chaps my tail a little bit when I hear comments like that. There's no proof. Now, okay, wait a minute. Let me clarify this statement by saying, you know, yeah, you can find situations where the government used African-American men as examples and things like that. You can definitely find proof of that. But I'm talking about overall as a democracy. There's no proof that the U.S. government has ever done things not Nazi Germany has done or things of that nature. So for people to sit here and think that one day mass men – well, yeah, give me an example, Mr. Elias. That's why I put it out there. I could be wrong.
I can't remember the name of the project, but it was where they were, and just in the African American men was.
I just said that, Mr. Elias.
Okay, so that's to me that's what's the difference? You know, what's the difference? I mean, you ingesting these people with a disease, where it's not the
Germany. So, do you think the current U.S. government right now?
You got my key?
What the hell was that? The current U.S. government right now, you think, will do something like... My point is a track record. We talk as if, you know, we have a history of, you know, using nuclear weapons on our people or anything of that nature. You talk as if one day some men in a big black van is going to show up, kick your door down, take all your guns away, and take away your liberties. And it's just, that's a ridiculous statement. It's ridiculous.
I mean, you know what, Dave?
What?
Yeah. Anything can happen. They just
that's ridiculous.
It's up or down vote, Jay. I mean, that's just truth.
It's a ridiculous statement.
We're just discussing it. What about the FBI killing the guy that was associated with the Boston Marathon terrorist? He didn't have a gun. They assassinated him. They killed him. Why?
Yeah, and Jay, you see how the culture changes over the last 50, 60 years? See, when the culture changes, the government changes, because the government is a reflection of the people. You see what I'm saying? That's why you go to Japan, they're like, oh, no, you're going to eat healthy over here. We're not funding all this going and cancer treatment and all this. A government is a reflection of the people. You see that all over the planet. That's just the reality.
Yeah.
So culture changes, government changes. We have more gays now. We have gay rights now. Culture changes, government changes, laws change. So, like I said, it's an up or down vote. If people become atheist or whatever, things can easily, quickly change, Jay. Especially the Fortune 500 companies. They really can change the culture. Especially with the media, they can change the culture real quick.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, Jerome, I'll give you the last word on the set.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All I can say is, you know, I agree with LES. I mean, because I like privacy. And so the problem is that people are voluntarily putting out their data. We've known for a while, and that's why, again, I can't understand everybody in their whole OJ issue of knowing that this one fact, that the cell phone company was tracking his cell phone transmission, and the government, which was Los Angeles police or the DA's office, would not allow them to submit that in court. They actually can triangulate, and they're better now, your movements just based on your cell phone. It's actually how they found one of the gunmen in the bombing in Boston, because the guy who was carjacked left his cell phone in a car. So it's a little GPS. So technically, you are voluntarily creating this data, but as far as saying that the government is somehow crossing the line one way or another, that's always debatable. But I am telling you, it's on all levels of government. Governments are just meant to protect themselves. It's not necessarily for your protection. They're looking out for themselves against you. So I don't have any outrage for, so to speak, because I did that news story about a year or two ago that all of your phone conversations are being listened to and people are looking at your data. And with these new ways of transmitting data, the iPhones and all these other things, they're figuring out new ways to get your data. They've been doing it anyway. So I don't know what to say. I don't blame one side or the other and saying what the world is going to because of it. But I just say that you need to protect your data. Do not put your Social Security number on anything that doesn't have anything to do with finances, and I mean bank account kind of finances. It's not illegal to use a different number for your Social Security number if it's not tax implications to it. So you don't have to. But Facebook actually, and all of those social networking, went through one of those sessions that they kept saying, put your real data out here or we're going to delete you. It was just their gimmick to market to you. So you don't have to put any real information out there. But once other friends start tagging you and all of the other stuff, then they have a good picture of who you are. So Google Glasses and all of this, we're watching a really bad trend of people voluntarily pointing out who their friends are and all this other stuff, which is creating a problem. So I would rather have the government have that information because we can sue them than private companies. I've seen those movies, and they never turn out good for the citizens.
All right, well said. All right, folks, one set in the books, but listen, we have plenty to talk about. Coming up next, George Bush's Mini-Me. Think about that one. It's the Serious Side. It is Sunday morning. Glad you're here with us. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go anywhere.
This is your resident map of the South, Moms and Little Donnas, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio of the Gay Rouse Show, a show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host Princess Odelia and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, the J-Rouse Show, every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, the J-Rouse Show, a show for women by women.
Is what he's doing worse than anything George W. Bush did?
I think Bush started the process. And what I had hoped, and I think millions of Americans had hoped, that Barack Obama, who knew something about constitutional law, would not only change Bush's policies in a number of ways, but certainly with regard to civil liberties. And I think it's fair to say that many of us are deeply disappointed that he did not end many of those programs and provide a lot more transparency than he has.
It's 40 minutes after the hour, or 20 until the top of the hour, whichever you prefer. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our phone number is 347-850-1272. Once again, that phone number is 347-850-1272. We invite you to be a part of the conversation. I'm sharing the stage here with my main man, Mr. Elias. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, everyone.
And, of course, my political strategist, Mr. Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, Jerome. And our most controversial listener, or should I say listener, panelist, I should say, the one and only Steve from Indianapolis. Good morning. What's happening, Steve?
Good morning, everyone. And, Jay, you're controversial as well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. All right, coming up a little later, before we go, where we take a look at some stories that made headlines this past week, we have some pretty decent teasing ones in there for you. Plus, we also have a segment called Chatterbox, where we feature comments from the chat room during our final phases of the show. So if you'd like to hear what you wrote, regardless of whether or not you're in our chat room, or if you're on Facebook, or you're on one of the other social medias that we monitor, if it's a good enough statement, we'll definitely read it on the air live. So don't forget, you can participate in the show that way, just in case you don't want to call in. Maybe you're shy and don't want to talk on the radio, but if you are, you still have a way to be heard here on The Serious Side. All right, listen, second topic today, George Bush's mini-me. A lot of George Bush's policies have remained in effect during the Obama administration. Is President Barack Obama a mini-me of George W. Bush when it comes to some of the policies that are referring to national security, Steve?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100% absolutely. You know, how I've been saying that from day one, is that there's a bloodline to the presidency, and he's a distant cousin of Bush, and, you know, people caught up on that very quickly. And can you, are you trying to tell me something?
No, he's it was found out that him and Dick Cheney are distant cousins or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, it's the same kind of the same guys, you know, running the show, and that's been a problem. But that's why I think the non-white vote, they really wanted to go after that. They really wanted to capture the Latino vote, the non-white, the Asian vote, minority vote. And so that's why President Barack Obama was just such a great selection, because we really get from focusing on those issues and those key people, the same people are there, and now we get to focus on, okay, he's a black African American, we know they're going to be racist towards him. So it played out perfectly for the Democrats. Democrat Party they benefited big time from that. So, because it's a distraction, you know, and we don't focus on the same Bush people being there, the same Treasury Secretary. We don't focus on that. You know, the banks, how Big Pharma was pretty much almost going bankrupt, and now Obamacare pretty much really saves them. It's almost a bailout for the pharmaceutical companies, Obamacare. No, we don't want to talk about that. Let's slide that under the rug. So there's a lot of stuff goes on under the Bush administration that we see under the current administration. The Patriot Act has to be reauthorized. That's not an automatic set into stone law. That has to be reauthorized by the President of the United States. So, you know, there's a lot of questions there. But, do you agree with me? Was it a big distraction, or were you really focusing on the key people in his administration?
Well, you know, listen, the bottom line is that, you know, you hear this all the time, how, you know, President, Barack Obama has kept a lot of the Bush policies in place. A lot of people point to the fact that Guantanamo is still open. A lot of folks talk about how, once again, you mentioned the Patriot Act and how the fact that, you're right, it had to be reinstated. But the bottom line is a lot of liberals, Mr. Elias, are upset at the president because they're saying, look, not only did you, you know, kept that policy in place, you have expanded on that policy and the transparency that you promised during your, you know, your campaign runs in 2008 and in 2012, I should say, we're just not seeing that. And so what do you say to the critics, especially on the left, who have issues with the president and some of the policies that he's maintained from the Bush administration? Did we lose Mr. Elias? I think we did lose him. Jerome, did you?
Again.
We may have. What about you, Jerome? Are you with us this morning?
Yep, I'm here.
So you heard the question I had proposed for Mr. Elias?
Yes, you were just asking what the Democrat, like what's the,
There are a lot of liberals who are not happy with the president because he has kept in place some of George Bush's policies, and they thought that he would, you know, say, okay, enough is enough, we're going to get rid of these policies, but yet and still he's kept some of those policies in place, and especially with the Patriot Act, it seems that he's made it more robust, and so a lot of liberals are saying, hey, this is not the transparency you promised in 2008 and in 2012. What say you?
Well, it is the transparency because you know about it. I mean, just think about what you're asking. Like, there's a big difference. Like, you hear people saying, you know, especially people who are conservative or Republican are saying, look, Obama's just like Bush. Can't you tell? But then they hate him. Like, they're being bipolar in your assessments of him. And the problem is, on the Democratic side, what they're not understanding is this. How government works, and I don't care if it's your local, state, or federal government. You do not. It's a feeder system, right? And so you can't just get rid of the CIA. If there is no Democrats in the CIA when he took over, you don't just get rid of everybody there because you don't know what's going on. So then you get blamed for not knowing information from one administration to the other. And plus, you can't fire them like that anyway. So to not understand that it is not smart to take over a company, it is not smart to go into government and just fire all of your direct reports because now you don't even know where the bathroom key is. That's not smart. So we have to kind of look at it in a really, really big picture on governing to say, how do you manage it to be a little bit different? And it is managed very differently than it was during George Bush. And I'm sure some of the moderate conservative people are still there. But just to bring up things like Guantanamo Bay, which is kind of crazy as well, the president's been trying to close it. Couldn't get it past Congress, can't get them to close it. He tried universal health care. He said, I'll sign universal health care. Did it get passed? No. It is not the president's job to actually work both sides that he can pass things. It's not a dictatorship. He cannot do that. And so just to not understand the bigger pieces of government, you can't point the finger at him and say, you know, well, it's his fault that we don't have A, B, and C, and D, and I can't believe he didn't get rid of the Patriot Act and this and that. He has to take the advice from the people who are working with him, and they know what they're unraveling if you do that. So I can't pretend to know what it is that is hindering it from being unraveled. I never liked the Patriot Act, and I think it needs to be gone. But technically, the enforcement of the Patriot Act is a whole lot different than it was during Bush's time. The things that Bush was planning on doing with the Patriot Act was totally different anyway from the plans that Bush said that he had on the Patriot Act. But even the terror code alerts, green, orange, and blue, and whatever those things, that stuff is gone. We were going into a whole different direction of putting everybody under scrutiny. I mean, and so he pulled back from it, but he still has the power. The power lies on the president's side in enforcement, but technically it relies on the congressional side for creating the laws and creating the structure. And so you have to be really careful on everything that people are blaming the government for. You cannot like him, that's fine, but Democrats are so doggone crazy about this that it's tiring. Right? If you would have got the blue dog Democrats out of
Congress, when he first got there, you wouldn't have any resistance to some of the stuff that he was talking about. But now the Republicans are there. Now it's his fault he didn't pass it in the first term. Couldn't pass it anyway.
Well, you know, we talk about this a lot, 347-850-1272. We talk about, Mr. Elias, the fact that we have the low information voter, because people on the outside, they're not, you know, they're not as detailed or into politics like we are. I mean, the bottom line is that, hey, things are not going right. This guy is in charge. You know, bottom line is he talked about some of the things that he talked about during his, you know, 2008 campaign, he's still doing. And so it, to them, it looks like lip service. You know, they don't understand, you know, there's one thing when you're out campaigning, but it's a whole different animal when you have to govern. What say you?
Well, of course it is. It's a whole different animal when you have to govern, Jay. But and most people are ill-informed, and that's why we say the ill-informed voter. And, you know, I mean, we look at it in a whole different light, man. I mean, everybody, like we always talk about, everybody expects this guy to come in office and wave a magic wand and everything was going to be done. Everything was going to be okay. Everything for black folks was going to be just fine. And it, you know, and in essence, he told you in his acceptance speech, hey, look, you know, I'm going to be here for you, but you're going to have to do some work too. And, you know, please, the ill-informed voter don't want to do any work. So I truly understand it, but, you know, we need to dig a little bit further into politics and find out what we're talking about. I mean, maybe we need to bring back social studies in high school, man.
Steve, your comments.
Yeah, Steve. You're ill-informed. That is a big, that's very big. People working two jobs and not really staying up on current events. I mean, this panel is, I mean, they even went into New York City and was asking people on the street, did they know about Benghazi? And like 90% of the people never even heard of Benghazi. And they, when they asked what's the reason why, they're like, I go to school and I go to work. I don't really read the news. So that's another issue. See, government, it does so much. You know, it's impossible for people to know everything that's going on. You know, a lot of times, after the fact, after years, after an action was done, you'll read about it in a book somewhere. It was this operation or that operation, this black ops project or blah, blah, blah. But it's so big. And, you know, the founding father was talking about to put government on a leash, a short leash, so that if it gets out of control, we can redo it very quickly. But you can't, we don't have that today. We don't have that today. So that's the issue. The folks don't even know about Benghazi. How in the world do they even know half of what this panel knows? It's impossible. So what do you think about that, Jay? People don't even know about Benghazi.
Well, it's, you know, what we talk about all the time, the low information voter, the person that's, listen, I'm just living my life. If it comes on the 6 o'clock news, I'll see it. If it happens to come across, you know, maybe someone will post this on my Facebook page, I'll pay attention to it, but I'm not going to go out and seek information. And I think that's what makes this whole situation scary. But, you know, but let's go back to the president here, because, you know, listen, I'm a huge supporter of the president. I don't think that's a secret, but there are some things that people should be concerned about. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, spying on Americans. I mean, you know, we sit here and say that on one hand, the president and the government has the right to do certain things, but the reason why people are so up in arms, and this goes back to our first segment, is the fact that, once again, this story was leaked. It wasn't a story that was, you know, they didn't do a very good job of putting it out there. But then again, Mr. Elias, and I know I'm talking in circles here, but then again, when this was going down as far as the Patriot Act and things of that nature, you know, they had hearings. But who sits and watches C-SPAN all day, you know? So I guess the American people are saying, on one hand, you didn't tell me about it, but it's almost like, for example, the first of the year. You know, there's so many new laws, depending on what state you're in, if they're on CY or on FY as far as calendar year versus fiscal year. There are so many different laws that take place at the beginning of a certain year. And, you know, the bottom line is that I don't know what new laws took place. There's no place for me to go to see all the new laws, at least I'm not aware of, that took place. So you could get me on something I had no idea that was just voted into law. And so I guess for me, how do we do a better job of letting the American people know about things like this, especially when it deals with personal information and the possibility of, you know, wiretaps and things of that nature, Mr. Elias? What do we do about that?
Well, you know, some days it's something called the internet. And
they're putting stuff on WhiteHouse.gov. I mean, that's
right.
I don't think that's an issue.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying, man. If you really want to know what new laws come down, do your research, man. Like you know, I was listening to I was with a lawyer yesterday morning, and we were talking about the new cell phone bills, where you know they can mount everything you see on your cell phone. It's getting to the point where you're not gonna have any privacy, you know, or any things of that law. But like I said, man, you know, Jerome said it best. When this man came in office, if we didn't have the Blue Dog Democrats, man, I think a lot of things would be different. I truly believe that. You know. But once again, we had the Blue Dog Democrats, and they did what they had to. So,
but will you, okay? But let me ask you. Okay, I guess I'll ask Jerome. When you talk about the Blue Dog Democrats, I mean, when we're talking about, you know, you mentioned it, Mr. Elias mentioned it about your privacy. You know, every time you go, it's not coincidental that when you log into your Facebook account, if you have a Facebook account, every place you go, you look at the bottom of the website. And you see your icon, your Facebook handle, and you can comment from there. There are a lot of websites that will allow you to log in using your Facebook account. This is just the world we live in. I guess for me, I don't know. I guess I hear you guys talking about privacy. And look, I'm all for privacy, but I go back to what I said originally. If it's going to save someone's life, then I don't have a problem with you nor my whereabouts. You talk about GPSs on phones. You know, that's how they found. Think about the good parts of these things. They find people using GPS because they have the ability to track them. I guess I don't understand why it's such a big issue for some Americans, Jerome.
Okay, and that would be you being a little too rosy. That's why
okay.
You don't.
And that's fine. That's fine. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's put it out there.
I know, but I'm just saying you're being a little rosy because. I mean, I can, again, I'm a big history person. That's kind of what I do. And,
right.
But I can tell you a lot of instances where the government is not your friend, right? And so, and just from rogue people doing crazy stuff, all of black folks that get stopped by government, again, we were on Amnesty International's, like, crimes against its citizens. We were number one in the world at some point because this country has a habit of killing their minorities, which is black people, to a rate of something like 80% to what they kill white folks by, you know, police officers. And so that takes a note. There's a note to that. You're practicing on putting radiation and Similac on your citizens. You're practicing some very, very bad things. I don't want to name all of this stuff, but you're practicing some bad things. So your government can go rogue if you're not monitoring how they're behaving. So if you give them too much freedoms and you take those freedoms for granted, then you start voluntarily becoming test patients for something else. And that's all I'm saying. You should be conscious, but I don't agree with saying that everybody needs to watch the news and find all of this stuff for themselves, because news is programming. That's why everybody's doggone paranoid now, is because the news does a really good job of setting a climate in the country. Bush was very, very good at. Republicans generally are usually good at scaring everybody every second of the day. Nobody should really give a rat's about Benghazi, right? And so to put that out there and say, ooh, we had somebody get killed and maybe there's a cover-up and blah, blah, and not know that you had all these people killed at U.S. embassies during George Bush time, then you're like, wait a minute. That happened before, and we didn't know anything about it? Yep, it wasn't in the news. So just to pick out things that's going to make you upset, it's crazy. That's not what we should be doing. Like, the problem is that we, Elias said before, social studies, civics, we need to teach that stuff and give people a sense of responsibility. When you lead people, you have a sense of responsibility. you have politicians there that have no internal measure for what is ethical and what isn't. And that is more of a problem. So when your government feels like it's disconnected from the people, then they start behaving in ways so that and not even caring. I remember doing some of the races where they were talking about ultrasounds and all this other stuff. I don't care. My constituents say that they don't want this, but we're going to give it to you anyway. That's not a national security issue. So we have to frame our conversation and our arguments in such a way that it becomes really simplistic. People remember things that you can concisely put in a way that they can understand it, but to muddy the waters is just a political trick to get you disinterested in politics. But it's not that serious. Like, your government should be there to protect you. That's their job. That's why you pay taxes. But you should never say that it's okay that my government intervenes to say, I'm sorry. Here's one really quick thing. They're asking people, insurance companies in Canada, and some in the United States are telling you that if you get a GPS device on your car, then they'll lower your insurance premium by 5%. Now, here is all sorts of wrong, right? If you put that chip in your car, you're going to save about $25 a year. But what it's going to do is going to allow people to shut your car off when you're driving. It's going to allow some other stuff to start happening. But you're going to voluntarily do that by thinking that somebody's going to give you a discount, and it's going to infringe on your rights, right? It's going to tell how many times you brake, how fast you drive, how far you go, and it's going to eventually raise your insurance premium. But these are nice little tricks to make you think that you're in control of your life. Stop buying into things that you think that makes your life easier, because it's not. It's giving more control to somebody else to control what you do.
Wow. Just the society that we live in. I mean, we live in a technology-driven society. I mean, we talk about this all the time on this show, the fact that people need to know something now. You know, it's not a situation where, you know, we can, you know, not like a long time ago, you know, if something happened at 9 o'clock in the morning, if the president did something crazy at 9 o'clock in the morning, they had, you know, almost 3 hours to get it fixed before the midday news. Nowadays, the president does something crazy at 9:30. At 9:35, everyone in the world knows about it. It's just the world that we live in, but this is what we ask for. And so I guess for me, when we talk about, you know, some of the civil liberties and some of the things that, you know, President Obama has continued under the Bush administration, I guess another thing that bothers me is that when people sit here and say, well, you know, where's the transparency? You know, first of all, if we're talking about national security, you can't sit here, Steve, and put out every little thing that you're doing, because, hello, the enemy's monitoring you just like you're monitoring them. That's why it's so ridiculous when people say this, is, oh, well, why don't we know about this? Well, because it's top secret. Well, the government is asking us just to trust them. Well, in some cases, we have to ask you that, because the bottom line is we can't expose to you what we're doing, because then the enemy finds out. And when the enemy finds out, Steve, then guess what? They're going to change direction, because, you know, that's what they do. It's a cat and mouse game. Your comments.
Yeah, it'll never be a perfect situation. I mean, the people are engaged. So that's, and like Jerome put it perfectly, if the people aren't involved, the people really don't care. They're busy playing video games, Super Bowl, you know, Twitter, Facebook. You know, then the government can just pretty much do whatever they want to do. You know, ethnic cleansing, what have you, discrimination, what have you, you know. And so that's the thing. It's that liberty versus security. And you know what Benjamin Franklin stated about that. If you give up your freedoms for security, you deserve neither. So that's the thing, is that a lot of these situations, life is a risk. And if you want to be risk-free, you're just going to have to wait till you get to heaven. That's just all I'm going to tell you. Life is a risk. So, yes, there's a risk. A terrorist can come and blow you up right now. There's also a risk that the government could come arrest you because you're a political opponent, you're a dissident, you're a part of a political party that does not represent the government or does not like the current establishment. So they have enemies of the government. So you could be targeted in that fashion as well. See, there's balance to these things, but unfortunately we live in a world where we can't trust people, and we don't know where the balance is. A lot of folks don't know that the average person is working from January to June paying taxes. The average person just has no idea what's going on around here. They're just Super Bowl. They're, you know, the media, the TV, the television, the tube is taking over. And before the television was the newspaper. They used to lie in newspapers. So, Jay, you know, it's not a perfect world, but if we're going to pay a lot of money for security, just understand that you can easily be robbed and manipulated. And we have nobody else to blame for but ourselves, because the government is a representation of the people. And if we turn into monsters, our government's going to turn into monsters. And that's just the sad reality of the times we live in, Jay. What do you think about my government?
Well, hey, listen, I think your comment is going to have to be the final word for this set. Coming up next, folks, listen, the age-old argument, gay rights versus the rights of black people. Are they the same? We're going to talk about this because I had a serious conversation with a colleague of mine yesterday. We'll be back. Serious Eye.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Talking Style. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, not for the South. My little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Thank you.
I don't ever recall no gays and lesbians having dogs sicked on them and sprayed down with water hose. I don't ever recall any gay or lesbian having to drink from a gay and lesbian water fountain or using a gay and lesbian bathroom. I don't ever recall a gay and lesbian not being permitted to go inside a store because it's non-gay only. I don't recall any gays being lynched or beaten because they're gay.
It's 2 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. Happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our phone number is 347-850-1272. Once again, that number is 347-850-1272. You can call, be a part of the conversation. Let's say good morning to our colleagues one last time. Let's say good morning to the man from Indianapolis, my man Steve. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
And one last time to our political strategist, my main man Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, Jerome.
Good morning.
And, of course, the man who runs everything, the man who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, Mr. L.E.S. Good morning once again.
Good morning, everyone.
Don't forget, you can participate if you don't want to call in, if you're too shy to call in to a radio, live radio show, no worries. If you put your comments in the chat room on Facebook or on any of the other social websites that we monitor, if it's good enough, we'll definitely read those during our chatter box section, which is about 40 minutes away. So if you want to get in, it's not too late. Just put your comments in those places, and we'll monitor. And if they're good enough, we'll place them in there for you. We'll read them live on the air. Last topic, we're talking about the F word versus the N word. I think we all know what we're referring to. It's the age-old argument, gay rights versus the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Are they one and the same? And the reason why this is a topic, and we've talked about it before, I was having some lunch with a friend of mine, and we got into this very heated discussion about this. And, you know, this person said, you know, that gay people have gone through the same thing that black people have gone through, and as a black person, I should understand this, and they're very disappointed that I don't understand this. And my argument was, wait a minute, even though, gay and lesbian couples have been targeted and, you know, they've been bullied and things of that nature, to sit here and say that you've gone through what we've gone through is a false statement. And I'll stick by that statement, but I told her that I would bring it up this morning on this radio show, and I hope she's listening in just to get everyone's comment and see what the people are thinking. So let me start right there. Let me go with you, Steve. Can gay people sit here and actually say that their plight is the same as the plight that black people went through in the 1960s?
Jay, this is absolutely probably the dumbest political thinking I have ever heard. I mean, a white gay person, whether male or female, and a black gay person, whether male or female, are treated totally differently in this country. An upper-class white man that's gay in San Francisco is treated totally different than a black man that's upper-class and gay in this country. It's totally, totally different treatment because, number one, the color of their skin. People hate to talk about this. People hate to acknowledge this. They're treated totally, totally different. That's why when a black man comes out and he's openly gay, it's almost a praise. You get national praise. You get media attention. Jason Collins, he's probably going to be able to sell millions of books now. His new book's coming out. When Roy Hibbert from the Indiana Pacers made a comment, no homo, he gets fined $75,000. So this is the thing. You cannot compare ethnic cleansing. You cannot compare the two. Because we know right now to this day, white people that are gay are treated differently than black people that are gay. And I dare anybody to call into the show and tell me differently. Jay, what do you think about my comment?
Well, no, it goes back to, you know, hey, listen, there is some substance to that. And it goes back to, once again, that conversation, Ms. Elias, that I had with this person. And, you know, they just downright, I don't know if we're going to be friends again. I don't know if we're going to have coffee and do those types of things, because it really became a very heated discussion. And it was in a public place, too, to be perfectly honest with you. And she just got downright belligerent with me because I failed to see, you know, the comparisons. And like I told her, look, I acknowledge that there are some issues going on there. There's no doubt about it. What you do in your bedroom is your business. But to sit here and say once again, and I think our lead-in, you know, illustrated it perfectly. I don't remember seeing gay-only, you know, water fountains and things of that nature. To me, she has no argument. But listen, I've been wrong before, and I'll be wrong again in the future, so I wanted to bring it here. So based on what we've talked about so far, your comments on this particular topic, Ms. Elias.
Well, you know something, Jay, I have to agree with you that the plight, you know, discrimination is discrimination. I understand discrimination. But, you know, like the lead-in said, there's been no dog picked on them. You know, as you so eloquently put it, you know, there's no gays-only drinking fountain. I mean, our plight to get where we are as a people, it's way different than their plight. And discrimination is discrimination. But, you know, when you know, I can't walk into in the 60s, I could walk into a restaurant and be a gay man and nobody will ever know. But I couldn't walk into a restaurant and be a black man and sit at that counter and nobody would ever know. So, I mean, it's entirely different. It's entirely different than, you know, and that's all I
have
to say about it, man.
Your thoughts, Jerome?
Okay, well, I was going to say I was hoping you'd give me a better lead in than that, but I can just say
well, let me give you one. Let me give you one because I think it's important. Here's another thing that came up and that she was so adamant about as well. And she said, you know, once again, You know, gay people are born this way, you know. And I said, well, okay, well, African Americans are born, you know, we're black. Well, you know, we didn't have a choice to pick what color. We didn't get some type of color slide and said, okay, what do you want to be, you know. I said, so what's your point? My point is, once again, is the fact that you fail to understand that both of us are in the same boat. You fail to understand that, you know, what you guys went through in the 60s are the same things that we're going on right now. We can't marry who we want to marry. We can't love who we want to love. And I'm sitting here looking at her cross-eyed. And I said, I cannot believe that you're trying to make this comparison. I said, go back and look. How did we get to America? Think about that for a second. We were packed like sardines in the bottom of a slave ship. And you're going to sit here and try to compare what you do or what you guys are going through? And I said, now you're making me sound like I'm anti-gay and I don't like, listen, I don't care what you do. But don't sit here and try to make that comparison. Your thoughts?
Oh, okay, well, you know, since I have no feeling about this at all, I mean, and I mean zero, I can tell you this. Just from her having, asking you to have this conversation, it's kind of a victory of some sorts because we shouldn't be having it because it's so crazy. But more importantly, if, you know, as it goes with black people historically, is that we have to care about everybody else more than we care about ourselves. It actually kills me to hear, especially black people, fall out and lose their mind over something and then say when something happens to somebody black, oh, well, we don't know what they were doing. We don't really know the situation. We need more detail. But when it comes to those issues, we have to care about it. And that's not technically something that's like subjective to me when it really comes down to it. We cannot mask the fact that we're black. Not saying that they can mask the fact or want to. Don't care. It's not my issue. The issue is that in having the conversation, it is such an idiotic conversation, actually, to say that you can compare black civil rights as much as we are still oppressed today, that we and brainwashed and marginalized. I mean, it's the reason why people kill black folks every day and white folks pretty much as a whole don't care. Like, they don't really pay any attention because over a couple hundred years of marginalizing people, you don't care about them. We have bigger, greater problems as black people than can ever be compared to anybody else.
So when we start talking about other groups and other things to argue about, when it really comes to black people, it's like having a Klan black people issue, right? When you start talking about we have black hate groups. No, we don't. There is no black group that actually went out to kill white folks just because they were white or oppressed them because they were white. We just don't have the power to do that. We get wiped off the earth to begin with if we did that in this country. So to make a comparison is just to make you feel comfortable because you are being so hypersensitive to what your issue is and you want us to care. We don't need to do that, right? We need to stay focused. If you want to be who you are, that's fine. Black people in a big picture, we don't really care, right? When you force something on black people is when black folks care. So I don't really understand why that person would come to you. And when white folks come to me with craziness, I normally try to figure out what their problem is. Because just to convince black people that you're oppressed is crazy. Because it's obvious that you're looking at oppressed people when you see black people. So you want them to feel empathy because we are getting beat down? It's like, since you're getting beat down, feel sorry for me because I can't get my driver's license until I turn 18. What do you want us to feel oppressed by every doggone thing?
Wow. Well, you know what? Hey, thank you. Problem solved. Good night, everyone. Have a nice day. No, I'm just kidding here. But listen, you know, and you're right. I mean, it was one of those situations where, you know, and listen, she brought us a valid point. She talked about the F word versus the N word. Listen, I'm with you on that one. I have no issues with that. My big issue is, once again, for you to sit here and say, because of the fact that you can't walk around and listen, and I don't even know if this is a true statement, Steve, to sit here and say this is what I said to her, but now that I think about it in hindsight, this is not even a true statement. Because, and I said to her, because you can't walk around and kiss who you want to kiss and rub on who you want to rub on in public is a problem. I said, hey, that's your issue, but now that I think about it, that's not even an issue these days either, Steve.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And for all the laws and legal protection they have, and, you know, and you know, back in the day, Caesar used to execute gays, and now you can walk freely and breathe, and some of the richest people in this country are gay, you know. So they may not be openly gay, you know, but it's just, Jay, people always want black people to come to their beck and call. You know, and Jerome is just, he's 100% right. I have to donate to his campaign. We're like the sleeve you get to cry on. If you're a political group and you're small and you're not succeeding, come and cry on the sleeve of black folks. Black folks understand you. We'll take you in. We'll comfort you. Well, guess what? Not on this issue, I'm not. Because, like I said, if a black man is in prison and gay, he's coming out of prison gay, he's treated totally different than a white man that's upper class in San Francisco that's gay. And we all know he's treated different. He's discriminated. You have a felony on your record. Those two individuals are treated totally differently. And I hope she calls in. I hope somebody call in and debate me this issue that these two individuals I just stated are treated the same in the gay community. Or perceived the same by American standards. They are not treated the same, Jay, and you know they're not treated the same.
I just don't think anyone in our listening audience would debate that. And you know, but it goes back, Mr. Elias, to the differences between whites and blacks. I mean, listen, God bless them. I have a lot of friends who are white, you know, very good friends of mine, you know, and there are a lot of people that I, you know, good God, I mean, something happened to them, I'd be devastated. But it just goes to me, you know, when we talk about being naive, to me, this is, you're naive to sit here and think that, you know, there's a comparison here. I mean, it's amazing when I sit and listen and talk to white people, and trust me, I have nothing against white folks. If you're white and listening to the show, thank you for listening. We hope you continue to listen after today's show. But the bottom line is that you can't come to me and sit here and want me to identify with little nitpicky issues that you may be dealing with when my people have been oppressed for a very long time, and we still know that these types of things go on. It's not coincidental that some of the things that are going on with President Barack Obama, Mr. Elias, doesn't have anything to do with his skin color. And I know, for example, people are going, oh, my God, here you go again. you know, something as minute as sport. Matter of fact, one of the things we're going to talk about, and before we go, is we're going to acknowledge that, you know, Serena Williams won the French Open. You go and read the blog on her headlines, and you see all this negative stuff. And so the first time someone on one of these blogs said, well, yeah, y'all doing this because she's a sister. Oh, my God, no, we're not. Well, then you explain it. Because it doesn't make sense, some of the things you're saying about her or the president or for anything that we're talking about, if race didn't play a big issue in that. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, like I said, man, the plight of the black, of any race is different than the plight of your sexuality. And like I said, the we didn't ask to come to this country. We were brought over here, without any say so or anybody telling us, you know, you got a choice to come over here. We were forced over here. So, you know, like I said, I understand the plight of a gay person, you know, because I've seen discrimination before. I've been discriminated against, but it was due to my skin color, not due to my sexuality. You know, like I said,
you're buying into what she said, Ms. Elias, because that's exactly what she said to me. Because I said, I can understand. No, well, you can't understand based on what you're saying. You're saying that my plight is not the same as yours. How can you understand what I'm going through? That was her exact remark when I made the same comment. Go ahead. I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, you know something, man? I mean, discrimination is discrimination. You know, I understand it. But I've been discriminated because of the way I look. Not because of my sexuality. I mean, I can hide my sexuality. Nobody would know, you know, my sexuality unless I put it out there and told them. I can't hide my skin color. I can't put that out there and say, hey, look, maybe I could do the Eddie Murphy skin what he did, where he was like changed his skin color and he was a white man. But hey, who wants to do that? So, I mean, bottom line is, you can't change who you are, man. You know, you can't change your skin color. But, you know, it's there. You can hide your sexuality.
Yeah, I want to say this to Elias. It's just like the little girl in the Cheerios commercial. If you want to check race, what about the big controversy about that? It's just because it's a biracial child. Race invokes everything in this country. It has nothing. You know, we take the burden of all of this all the time, 24/7. There's nothing like that.
You're right. I mean, and that's, once again, you guys have hit the nail on the head perfectly. But I just, once again, I wanted to talk about it. 28 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Sirius Side, 347-850-1272. I wanted to talk about it because, you know, once again, it's one of these situations where it's an open conversation. And, you know, she said, well, people are right-minded. They would see my point. I'm like, look, no one on this panel disagrees or says that, you know, gay people have issues that they have to deal with. But once again, your basic human rights, you know, in my opinion, has not been taken away. But they feel that it has because they can't marry who they want. They can't be open. You know, when an athlete talks about their sexuality, it makes news. Whereas a heterosexual person, you know, that's not the issue. I says, yeah, but think about this. How many times have you heard first African-American president? How many times have you heard first African-American woman, number one tennis player in the world for so many weeks? I mean, don't sit here and say that because people do the same thing for us, Steve. People do the same thing for us. It's not the fact that we're the first. Oh, they're the first black American to do this. Really? So don't come at me with that conversation because, you know, it's fallen on deaf ears, and I really and truly don't want to hear it. And I don't want to sound like I'm anti-gay, but please, spare me the time. Go somewhere else. There's nothing to see here. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we should. I don't even think we should even bring it up on the show anymore. We should just disregard this topic because it's feeding. it benefits their agenda. It gives them a ground to get it out there on their platform and launch it into cyberspace, and we have more important issues going on than their concerns. And we're the shoulder to cry on, and black folks will empathize with us because we went through the same. And we have Hispanics saying the same thing, that, hey, you know, I don't have the same rights as black people. I'm being treated like black folks back in the day because, hey, but guess what? We were brought here slaves. Hispanics, you guys, if you're a legal immigrant, you weren't brought here as slaves. You came across the border. They're using that same argument to compare their struggle with black people, the same Hispanic illegal immigrant argument. That is what the gay community is using to describe their what they went through, the tyranny that black folks went through. But think about it. All throughout white culture, black people are disenfranchised. Black people are looked down upon. You know, entire families, entire grandparents make sure they go out of their way to let their children know about black people and how not to deal with them. Don't marry them. Don't bring one home. You don't see that type of talking when it deals with being gay. You just don't see that, Jay. You don't see grandparents going out the way, hey, just make sure you never turn gay. They don't do that type of thing.
Well, I don't. Wait a minute now.
Point out a black folk. Oh, don't talk to that black man. They'll point out a black man before they talk about being gay. You don't hear white grandparents really discussing the issue of being gay. No, but they'll talk about leave black men alone when discussing to their white daughters all day long. So they have no leg to stand on, Jay. It's absolutely ridiculous. They're doing the same thing with the Hispanic argument, Jay. And I don't want to go on and on, but what do you think about my comment?
Well, I guess what I want to ask, and I'll ask Mr. Elias this question. Are we sounding anti-gay? I mean, if someone is listening to this, Mr. Elias, and listening to us go back and forth with this, will they walk away thinking that we have no respect for homosexuality and things of that nature? I mean, are we sounding too anti-gay? I guess that's my question for you.
No, I don't think we are. What I think we are is... Is not comparing our plight against the gay plight. I mean, I'm sympathetic towards the gay plight. Like I said, everybody has the right to live as they want to, and date who they want to, and fall in love with who they want to, you know. But I refer to the Loving case in Virginia, where they had to leave their home because they couldn't be married legally, and this is a man and a woman. This is what you know the Bible says, a marriage between a man and a woman. It didn't say nothing about their skin color, but in the case of the Lovings, these people had to leave Virginia, go to D.C. because it was illegal to marry against your rights.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, once again, just little things like that. Now, obviously, that doesn't exist now, but. When did this happen? I guess I should ask that question, Mr. Elias.
And it was in the 60s. And I mean, it's for the documentary on it. And I mean, and if you look at this guy Loving, this man, he looked like a straight redneck. He did, but looks can be deceiving because he loved his black wife, and he did everything. They fought this in the Supreme Court, and I mean. Like I said, you know, just because of their skin color, they couldn't get married in Virginia, and that was a law they shared through like 16 states in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's crazy. It is nuts to sit here and think about, you know, what's going on here. I mean, you know, but once again, I don't want people to sit here and think that we sound. And I'll ask you, Jerome. We don't sound anti-gay, do we?
I don't really care. Like that's your. You guys can worry about that stuff.
Oh,
I am surprised. No, I don't.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Okay,
wow.
So here's the thing about leadership. People, you know, you get to a point where you have an understanding in life and stop being so apologetic about it. I mean, black folks always are apologetic about taking a stance against anything just to not make other people feel bad. Who cares? The issue is that what we're saying, take it like bad medicine. Turn a statement. I'm sorry, you can't do that. If this is my show, I would say that. But go ahead.
It is your show, Jerome. Go ahead and say what you have to say.
No,
I want to hear it.
I won't run people away from your show. Just vote me off the island, I guess. But all I'm saying is that you don't have to apologize for that. If somebody feels like you're being insensitive to them, just say that they're being insensitive. But personally, You can't make us feel any less sensitive about being black, and that's what you're asking us to do. You're saying, temper down your feelings about yourself to consider us. It's like, really, like, you, we've done that for white folks for so long, and we may not have another gear. Like, we may not have room. Black folks always temper their feelings to make sure white folks don't, you know, we are not saying it's you. Like, we do that so much, it is hilarious to me. So I'm
wow.
hip of in practice that I don't do that generally. And I like to hear, not like to hear, but I normally pay attention to when we're doing that. I can tell you one really quick story about when I realized that I was over pacifying white folks. I think I was probably, I was in junior high school, and I was opening the door for my mother, which I normally did. We were going to the mall, and I usually open the door for anybody, old ladies, anybody who walks past me. And so I opened the door for my mother to go in this place, junior high school, and this white man ran right behind her, like kind of pushed her so that I could open the door for him, and I slammed it on his foot and looked at him like he was crazy. At junior high, I said, you can't beat me. Like, I got over the fact that I need to be courteous to every dog I'm by.
Oh,
you need to be courteous
God.
To those people who are nice to you and not taking advantage of you. So as black folks, when we say, here is what's going on in the black community, it is not free game for everyone to come up to say, I have an opinion on it. Okay? So just like in A Million Man March, this white female came there and said, I needed to go because I work with black people and I need to know what they're thinking. No, you didn't. Stay your butt home. That's all I have.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that now. It's interesting that you say that because, you know, we've had this conversation here as well, and which is a pretty decent turn because I think people are, you know, I'm starting to read some of the comments from other people from other places, and, you know, and everyone agrees with me. So I hate to say it, but I'm right on this situation. You know, bottom line is that, you know, listen, you can't make the comparison. There's no comparison. And you know, we have a colleague on our show, on the J. Rouse Show, Mr. Elias, you know, Ernest, the first thing he always says, you know, as well, you know, it's the same as with you black people. I'm like, oh, no, sir, you can't even go there because the bottom line is there's no comparison. But you said something, Jerome, that I thought was interesting about, God, I just lost my train of thought. I'm over here trying to read something to someone. What did you just say? I'm sorry. I lost my train
about,
of thought.
It's about white folks feeling like they need to have a black experience if they work with black people.
There you go, yeah. That's what it was. You know, I had a friend of mine that was really upset with, you know, he's anti-white, man. He can't stand white people. And regardless, he don't care if white people marched with black people back in the day. He could care less. He felt that they had some hidden agenda. That's the reason why they were around. And so he and I kind of go back and forth because I says, wait a minute, there are some good white people in this world. And he said, every white person's a devil. And he's like, you know, and that's his comment. And I'm saying, hey, man, wait a minute, that's not true. It really and truly is not true. Go ahead.
Okay, so it's not true, but I'm not going to pacify them by saying that. So what? Right? So what? Like the issue is, yep, that guy was pretty mean in saying that. We know that that's not true, but I'm not saying that just to make white folks feel comfortable. It is not for me to make you feel comfortable with black folks. That's what we do, right? And when you
wow.
talk about that, but seriously, when you talk about stuff, and it reminds me of when Malcolm X was speaking and some old stuff that I saw, you know, it was kind of like this one black guy was saying, not until Malcolm died that I realized what he was saying was true. But the problem was we weren't speaking to white folks like that, and I thought he was just anti-white folks. I'm like, that guy is dead now. You can't now say, you know what, he did have a good point when you were feeding the fire against him. So what, that guy was wrong for saying that about not wanting white folks there. But it's the reason why white folks are safe in the black community and black people are not safe in the white community. It's always been like that. So if you go back to
wow.
the old bus boycott and you start looking at footage for integration, white kids were integrated into black schools. The reason that they have no footage of people throwing stuff at the bus and white folks being scared is because it didn't happen. But believe me, if it did, we would have been watching that on the news like crazy. White folks are protected around black people. It's why Jeffrey Dahmer existed in the black community for so long, doing the craziness that he was doing. Black people would look out for white folks. That's just fundamental. It's what we do. Our humanity was not lost that made us do picnic on the weekend to pick black people to burn and have a cookout and have little white kids smiling. We did not do that. That is a part of their history that they need to reconcile. They need to understand that a part of losing your humanity is not caring about someone else based upon their race. Black people have never done that. So you can't start having those arguments, especially with, you can't start having those arguments with me because I just don't like them. But the problem is that some of us are aware of that and we're conscious of it. And you're never going to make us feel any less about ourselves just to make you feel better. It's not going to happen.
Wow, interesting. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. J. Ryle Show, the serious edition of the J. Ryle Show, happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio at its best. About to wind up here so you guys can have a few minutes to get in. Well, one of the things I'm hearing from Jerome, Steve, and I think I agree with him, is the fact that when we sit here and try to sympathize or empathize with what, you know, other people, other, you know, races and other sexual orientations are going through, it's almost like that house Negro type mentality. It's like, yeah, you know, we have to say something nice because, you know, that's just the place, you know, that's just the way we've been raised. And I think Jerome is correct. What are your thoughts?
Well, some of us have been raised patriarchal, and that is that's going to cause a problem for the gay community. You know, that's how I was raised. So, coming to a patriarchal man with a gay argument is a very big problem. You know, and people just don't understand and even within the argument, like I said, I mean, nobody will deny that a black man with a felony and he's gay and openly gay versus a upper class white gay man, nobody can argue with me that they're treated the same, because they're not. They are not treated the same. So even within the argument, I can find examples of unfair treatment, discrimination inside the gay community by America. Where America will look at that upper-class white man as gay, where he's an executive in San Francisco, they're going to look at him totally and treat him totally different than a black man that's a felon, a young black man that's gay. So even inside the argument, even inside the gay community, there's discrimination between those people. When they both go to gay bars, they're going to get treated differently by the gay community based on status, and we all know that. So that's why it absolutely does not make sense, even inside the argument. And next time, if you sit down with her again at lunch, dinner, what have you, state that case, and she will clearly understand that status drives America, and perception is what Americans go by. Jay, I mean, isn't that the perfect example? Those two points of view is a perfect situation that cannot be denied. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm going to have to agree. I'm going to have to agree with that. There's no doubt about it. I think that that we have to be careful when we try to do these types of things, because what happened to our ancestors, we cannot take lightly. You know, like Jerome said, you know, there were picnics where you see pictures of white people standing around watching African Americans lynched from trees. There are still so many unsolved murders out there. And so to sit here and say, and listen, once again, I'm not going to sit here and say that it hasn't happened to gay people, because you can go back and find guys, you know, that's why we have hate crimes, you know. When you do something against an African American, or you do something against, you know, someone gay, and, you know, you're doing it because of the color of their skin or their sexual orientation, hey, you know, that's a part of it. But to sit here and say that, you know, to try to make a comparison, I think is ridiculous and frivolous, and I think that you're right. I don't think we're going to talk about it again unless, you know, listen, we're for the people, and if folks feel it's a part of the conversation, you know, why not? I mean, because I always felt that the serious side, the purpose of the serious side was for friends to sit down at a cafe, have a conversation, a Sunday morning conversation about topics and things that that concern other people. Like we say, intelligent conversation by just ordinary folks, with the exception of Jerome. He's a scholar and a rogue scholar, so, you know, we can
but the rest of us are just mere mortals.
I want to say real quick, I'm about to clear that up. You know, I never use the word picnic, by the way. The only reason I use that is because that it comes from pick a N-word, and that's what they used to do on Saturdays, and they used to lynch people and would have and cook and sing and dance and all of that good stuff. So pick a N-word was where it comes from. So I never use that, but I use it for a point because I guess I was assuming that everyone knew what picnic meant. My bad.
Oh, well. But there are, you know, but we do have, you know, photos of people out doing those types of things. So, you know,
they sent postcards of those things, and that's why we have it. Postcards of little girls and stuff standing in front of somebody over a fire, and they collected bones and pieces of the ear and put them on their mantles. They did a lot of stuff that just kind of. Will discuss everybody right now because everybody's politically correct like it didn't happen, but most of those people are still living. It's not like they died.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's the main point that I keep trying to bring up is that those folks are not gone anywhere. Don't say it was a long time ago. It was like in the 20s, 30s. They did it for a long, long time. So those people are still living to some degree.
Absolutely, and I agree with that. You know, it's funny you brought that up because that's one of the things I brought up on the show a long, long time ago, that bottom line is that you're absolutely correct. That was in the 60s. Okay, folks, do the math. A lot of those people are still around, you know, and that's probably the reason why you see some of the hatred that we see because you still have people. I mean, listen, when you're raised a certain way, and I remember this young man who worked for me in the Army, and it was funny because this guy was a straight-up redneck races, but he got around us, and we were able to convert him, which was so crazy because for 19 years, his family had been, you know, just giving him hate. He was just being fed hate. He realized his wrongs. And I remember the story, and I know I've told it on the show a few times, how he fell in love with some Hispanic girl, and he sent a photo home to his grandparents because, you know, those are the people who raised them, saying, hey, I'm in love, you know, wish me well. And, you know, they sent him back a letter that, you know, to this day still would make me blush because of all the things that, I mean, they called her every name under the sun. And God, I can't believe that you are with that wetback and now you let that nigga boss of yours convert. It was crazy. I mean, it was really nuts, and he was crying. But I said, you know what? You should frame that letter and put it on the wall and show how far you've come from, because they're ignorant, but they can't help it. That's the way they were raised. But you made a change, which is something that, you know, that needed to be acknowledged and needed to be said. Mr. Elias, man, I'll give you the last word on this set, man.
Well, you know something, racism is racism, and discrimination is discrimination, but they're not the same. One is based on your skin color, and the other one is based on who you are and what you are. So, like I said before, I definitely understand discrimination because I've been discriminated against, but it's not because of my orientation. It's because of my skin color.
All right, well said. All right, folks, we're not done. Coming up next, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines, chatterbox your comments, and our final thoughts. Man, we're not done yet, but we're almost there. Stick around as we put a bow on this show. It's the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show every Sunday right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best.
The week that was in the news.
Russian President Vladimir Putin and his wife announced on Thursday they are divorcing after nearly 30 years of marriage. The Putins made the statement on state television after attending a ballet performance at the Kremlin.
Today's New York Post summarized it this way. Sex gave me cancer. There you are. The story inside the Post, though, read a little bit more like a medical journal than a tabloid. Transmission of the human papillomavirus is most common through vaginal or anal intercourse, although it can also be transmitted by oral sex. For women, the primary concern is cervical cancer, but the virus also affects men, causing penile, anal, and mouth and neck-related cancers. According to a study in the Journal of Clinical Oncology, the rate of HPV-associated head, neck, and throat cancer skyrocketed by 225% between 1988 and 2004.
I think the last two matches are the two best matches I've ever seen a woman play on the clay courts. I mean, I was stunned when she beat Sarah Rahne, who reached the finals here last year, 6-love, 6-1. And then today, let me tell you, Maria Sharapova played a great match, and she was at Serena's heels throughout the whole match. And Serena, you know, she had to play at another level. So I'm just astounded. I mean, we've always seen the power in her game and the athleticism, but now we're seeing focus and we're seeing consistency. And, you know, she's just the greatest player of all time in my eyes.
I wanted to fourth quarter. Still, 12.1 seconds left to go. Parker somehow gets the dribble, gets the shot to go down. The play would be reviewed but would stand. He would finish with 21 points, 6 assists as the Spurs get the victory 92-88 to win their 7th straight postseason game.
All right, folks, it's time for, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. Okay, Ms. Delias, the Russian president, the guy who takes pictures with his shirt off, the guy who does judo and everyone is taking pictures of it, and the guy who goes Siberian tiger hunting, the Russian president is divorcing his wife. What do you think about that, Big Daddy?
I don't really, I'm like Jerome on this one, I don't care. I don't care that he divorced his wife. It happens all over America. It happened to me. I divorced my wife. So, hey, who cares? You know?
I'm with LES on this one.
All right, well, can we make it? Can we get the hat trick? Steve, do you give a damn about it? Jeez.
I really don't.
Okay, we're moving on. Okay, all right. So, let's see if you get a kick out of this one. All right, Michael Douglas says that he has throat cancer because he has had too much oral sex. Mr. LES, should we all get our throats checked behind this whole thing here, buddy?
I got an appointment for next week to get my throat.
Oh my God. But on a serious tip, Jerome, listen, you know, first of all, they said that, you know, this is something that people really and truly don't know about, and it's really starting to make his headway, and kudos to Michael Douglas for bringing this out, because this is something that, hell, I didn't know it existed.
Yeah, neither did I, and I got nothing from Michael Douglas, but hey, you know what? He put it out there, so now we have to do research and get some information out for people.
Wow. I mean, you know, I'm nervous, Steve. I mean, my goodness. Do you have your doctor's appointment set up, Steve?
Man, this is crazy, man. Michael Douglas, I mean, God, man, just find something else better to do with your time. God, I mean, that much,
what's
that many
that?
Hours? I guess they're going to come out with a national health recommendation.
Maybe it's covered under Obamacare. Who knows? Oh, my God. Okay, as mentioned earlier, Serena Williams won the French Open. 16-time Grand Slam champ, Mr. Elias. She is looking at history. What do you think about Serena?
What really irks me is that they said how well Sharapova played. Look, this woman has...
She did play well.
She destroyed Sharapova like it's nothing, man. So let's be honest. She's a way better player than Sharapova, and they give Sharapova more props than they do Serena.
Well, you know,
she's the bomb.
Well, Miss Elliott, as you know, usually she's beating her 1-1, so at least you won 4 games. I mean, I think that's, you know, come on, you have to say something about that. But let me say this to you, Jerome. Now, when you think about Serena, and this is the thing that kind of bothers me about that, too, is the fact that you have Americans rooting for Sharapova, and this is a freaking Russian, and the bottom line is they don't even get behind their own player.
Okay, didn't we just talk about race there, Jay? So here's
hey, you're right. Beautiful segue.
Wasn't it just last year or the year before where everybody was saying she's washed up, she needs to retire, she's having too many injuries, and now everybody's saying she's the greatest? They do that with Tiger Woods. They'll do that with LeBron James. The problem is that you have a bad game or a bad year, everybody wants to write you off like you did not exist. She is killing him like Tiger's going to kill him. He's a young man to be playing golf. She is old to be playing tennis. They still can't beat her. So what you going to do?
Isn't that something? She currently holds 3 out of the 4 majors. What an amazing accomplishment. Now, okay, let's get to the playoffs. All right, listen, bottom line is the finals. I was wrong, but I think everyone else was wrong here too. And everyone flip-flop on their picks. So now that game 1 is taking place. Yeah, you did not pick the Spurs coming out the West. Don't lie, Jerome, because we could go back and get the tape.
I didn't pick the West, so you're right.
That's convenient. I didn't pick. Okay, they're going to play the 12. All right, whatever. Okay, whatever, Jerome.
Well,
all right, so listen. Here we go. So now that the Spurs won game 1, do you think that – I think everyone here thinks Miami's going to win this thing. Do we have people changing their minds right about now? Okay, and that's all I need to hear. And on that note, oh, my God, that was quick. Jesus Christ. All right, folks, it is time for Chatterbox Final Thoughts. From the chat room and from the social media, we're very short list today. Didn't feel like pulling everything up, but we do have a couple. I have one here for Convener Manny. He says, look, people are worried about the damn government, but fools have kidnapped women in the house down the street for 10 years. And I guess what he's trying to say is we're talking about the government, but the bottom line is think about some of these people that live amongst us. What do you have, Ms. Elliott?
I got Hank Levine when she said, you can't trust the government, and certainly can't trust the government to make everyone happy and feel completely safe.
Very good. All right, folks, we're not done. We'll be back with our final thoughts after this special edition of Have You Seen Me?
Sir, have you seen this girl?
Hello, friends. I'm Jay, the host of The Jay Rouse Show and the serious side of The Jay Rouse Show. And it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me? Where we put the spotlight on missing children of color. Tonight, from Coatesville, Pennsylvania, police are searching for a 14-year-old girl who has not been seen since she left school on Friday, May 17th. According to the Coatesville Police Department, Tiffany McDaniels was discovered missing when her mother returned home around 4:30 p.m. Friday in the first block of South 8th Avenue. The teen was not home when her mother arrived, and no family members or friends have heard from her since, according to police. Police said McDaniels has a history of running away. She took off just 2 weeks ago and once in December of 2012. But investigators are treating this disappearance as a missing persons case. Investigators said the teen has not attempted to contact anyone. She does not have a cell phone, and her Facebook account was deleted. We have no proof of her running away, so despite her history of running away, we have to treat this as a missing persons and make sure that we do everything we can to get her home safe, said Coatesville Detective Sergeant Brandon Harris. Harris said McDaniels has relatives in Philadelphia, but investigators spoke with the family and learned that they have not heard from the teen. Police did receive reports that McDaniel may have been spotted Friday afternoon with 2 other teen girls, Harris said. Investigators are asking for the public's help in determining McDaniel's whereabouts. Anyone with information about her location is asked to contact the Coatesville Police Department at 610-384-2300. Once again, that number is 610-384-2300, or you can dial 911.
We pray for the safe return of young Tiffany McDaniels, and we pray for her family, and we hope that she comes home soon, safe and sound. If you'd like to have a person featured here on Have You Seen Me, all you have to do is contact us via email at thejrileshowatlive.com. That's the J-R-I-L show at live.com. Or you can go to our Facebook page, the TGRS Radio Network, and leave the information there. Or you can contact me direct. That's right, on Facebook at J-A-Y-R-I-L. Or if you're listening to this doing a live broadcast, call into the show, 347-850-1272, and leave the information there. We pray for the safe return of all people missing, regardless of color. And until next time, I'm Jay, and you've been listening to Have You Seen Me?, where we focus our attention on missing people of color. Sponsored by the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Take care. God bless.
Somewhere in America, a mother is crying.
A family is torn.
A child is lost,
missing, or even abducted.
We need your help.
Contact your local police station for a listing of missing children in your area, or log on to www.missingkids.com
to obtain further information regarding missing children in your local community.
There's the next face you see.
Maybe a child that will need your help.
Help support America's missing.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. At the Sunnyland Estate in Southern California, a photo op with President Obama and Chinese President Xi Jinping. Their two-day summit is getting a generally positive assessment. But National Security Advisor Tom Donilon says Obama told Xi that if cyber attacks allegedly coming from China are not resolved, they would inhibit ongoing relations. Meanwhile, the Obama administration is defending the government's newly revealed surveillance activities, as NPR's Ari Shapiro reports.
The Director of National Intelligence put out a statement describing these surveillance programs as legal and subject to oversight. He also condemned the leaks that brought these programs to light. White House spokesman Ben Rhodes says there's not yet an investigation into those leaks. There is an investigation into whether the disclosure of these programs harms national security.
Currently, there's a review underway, of course, to understand what potential damage may be done. As it relates to any potential investigations, we're still in the early stages of this. Obviously, the Justice Department would have to be involved in that. So this is something that I think will be addressed in the coming days.
Rhodes also stressed that if these surveillance programs link Americans to a suspected terrorist plot, the government needs additional warrants to pursue those leads. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Palm Springs, California.
Investigators in California looking at family connections as they search for a motive for Friday's shootings in Santa Monica. Police acknowledge the suspect had a connection to the home that was set on fire and where two bodies were found. And Santa Monica Police Chief Jacqueline Seabrook says the attack that left a total of four people dead was premeditated.
I would presume that anytime someone puts on a vest of some sort, comes out with a bag full of loaded magazines, has an extra receiver, has a handgun, and has a semi-automatic rifle, carjacks folks, goes to a college, kills more people, and has to be neutralized at the hands of the police, I would say that that's premeditated.
Seabrook says police are not naming the suspect because a surviving family member was out of the country. The man at the controls of an excavator when a building collapsed in Philadelphia last week has turned himself into police. As NPR's Howard Burkus reports, a toxicology report indicates a man was on a marijuana high the day of the collapse, which left six people dead and 13 injured.
Police issued an arrest warrant for 42-year-old Sean Benshaw based on the toxicology report, witness statements, and a search of his North Philadelphia home. Benshaw faces charges of involuntary manslaughter and reckless endangerment in the collapse of a building undergoing demolition Wednesday. He was using an excavator when the collapse occurred. Police say Benshaw has a long criminal record, including drug trafficking. They also say he invoked his Fifth Amendment right not to speak about the incident when he turned himself in. Two survivors have already filed lawsuits against the demolition contractor who apparently hired Benshaw. Howard Burkus, NPR News.
And this is NPR News from Washington.
Well, another Sunday morning done. Great show. Glad you guys were a part of it. And it's time for our final thoughts. And, Steve, you're up first. Final thoughts.
All right. To my fellas out there, if you're dealing with a woman that has a biracial child, it's very important that you find out, is black men her first choice or her last choice? Because if black men are her last choice, you may want to consider a different girlfriend, because that may cause future heartache. I just want to warn the fellas out there. And God bless you all, and that's my final comment.
Okay, Jerome, final thoughts.
All right, so I have a couple of things, of course. The Supreme Court has ruled that police can collect DNA from anyone they arrest, equaling a DNA cheek swab, as a common procedure like fingerprints or mugshots. So they ruled on it. Everyone's not adopting it yet, but they can do it. Motorola, in our privacy concerns, Motorola announced this week, in a bid to make your online site and accessing your mobile phones more secure, that they have an electronic tattoo and authentication pill. Now, the tattoos contain like a flexible electronic circuit which, you know, attaches to your skin using a rubber stamp, and the pills can emit a signal from your stomach to your mobile phone. I think I remember a password better than that. And first there was online marriage, the online dating, and now there's online divorcing. So this week, WebVorce has just now become available. It's a software program that can help you make your separation easier. So whether you're married or not, you can use WebVorce to decide custody and visitation rights if you want, and assets. And
Wow.
Wesley Snipes is also back. He's signed on to do The Expendables 3. So that's going to be released in August 15, 2014, with Jackie Chan, Nicolas Cage, and somebody else.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that, man. Great stuff, Jerome. I love that because, you know, Wesley need to get back out there, man, make that money. Hope he pay his taxes this time.
And a high-profile one. He's not just coming out. He has a movie coming out this summer, but he made it 3 years ago. This new one is his first project, and it's going to be, you know, a couple $100 million project.
That's good because, you know, they made a couple of that went straight to video, straight to DVD, like The Marksman, and some of those weren't. Anyway, hey, good luck, Wesley. I'm glad that you're back on track. Appreciate you, Jerome, man, as always. The man that gets the first and last word, Mr. Elias, final thoughts.
Man, I got to say, knowledge is power. Thank you, Jerome, for some of the knowledge, but also thank you, Michael Douglas, man, for the knowledge you just gave me. I'm going to be more careful in the things that I do here coming up, so. Thank you, Michael Douglas. That's all I got to say about it, man.
Okay. All right. Yesterday, 20 years ago, I was blessed with a package. It was a package that was unexpected, but it was a package nevertheless. Ever since then, there's been some highs and lows. There's been some good times and bad times. But at the end of the day, I can always look into this person's eyes and say that I love them and they love me unconditionally. That's right. 20 years ago yesterday, my oldest daughter was born. As she celebrated her 20th birthday, I got a little misty because, you know, here I am with a beautiful, I mean, my daughter is just gorgeous. And I sometimes wonder if I'm her father because she looks so beautiful. But I just want to say to her, that God bless you, sweetheart. I am so proud of what you do and what you're going to become. I know it's tough. I know sometimes the road may get a little rough for you, but at the end of the day, you have to understand that me and your mother love you unconditionally, and there's nothing in this world that I wouldn't do for you. God bless, baby. Daddy loves you. And on that note, Mr. Elias, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Wow. Show.
So for Mr. Elias, so for Steve and my main man Jerome, I'm Jay Rao. God bless and have a great weekend. And remember, if we are talking serious stuff and it is Sunday, it's the serious side. We'll see you back here next week. Enjoy your work week, folks, everybody. God bless.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.